For you, I mean, your father is still influencing people 50 years on.
Well, that I'm not surprised. You know, I just think that it takes a certain team of people to, you know, bring it to recognition, you know, because everyone talked about Frank Sinatra and I'm sorry. I mean, obviously I'm very biased, but I do think that Dad was more of a pioneer than even Frank was. And I also think that Dad took risks that many big artists at the time did not take. You know, musically, he dealt a little bit into the pop, you know, vibe and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, well, you see that with artists today who are very careful about where they sit in genre.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. So,
and you've managed to do this as well, haven't you? I mean, you've had you know,
I mean, yeah.
This nation loves you for your pop hits, and yet, you know, you...
The jazz.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that I did get that from Dad. I think that he was just, you know, he was a trailblazer in many ways, and he wasn't afraid to try different things. There's some very interesting songs out there that Dad did. Well, I was fortunate to have traveled with him, to have performed with him as a very young girl, first when I was about 6, and then later on when I was about 11, in an actual show that he had on the road.
Yeah.
And I think that I probably saw more of him live than maybe most.
Yeah.
You know, because we were allowed to travel. Mm-hmm. You know, the first time I saw Snow was with my dad when he was in Rochester, New York, or Syracuse. Mm-hmm. And the first time I was here in London was with my father.
Okay.
You know, and Mexico. And so I felt I didn't know it then, but I realize now how privileged I was to have spent that kind of time with him.
Do you feel like a daddy's girl?
I mean, oh, absolutely. Yeah. No question. And proud of it. And it was because of my travels to Mexico with my dad that it always stayed in the back of my mind as one of my most outstanding experiences in a foreign country. And he loved the Latin music, and they loved him.
Yeah. What was so memorable about Mexico for you? Is there something specific?
Yeah. The people and the marketplace. There's a wonderful part of Mexico City I'm sure it's still there. There's a huge mural, which is like a painting on the side of some kind of a wall or a building. And it's of a woman wheeling a cart. And I remember when we got there, whoever was with us that was showing us around said, "Now, walk around and watch that woman. Watch that woman as you walk. And her eyes follow you."
Oh, yeah.
Wherever
one of
you
those.
Go. And I was like 8. And I was like absolutely, I mean, just fascinated with that mural. I'll never forget it. That and the pinata. We went to somebody's house and they had a party and they had a big fat pinata, and I think it was a donkey or something.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I'd ever
seen that.
Experienced that. That was fun.
Nat King Cole, here's somebody, like you said, Natalie, was going to do things his way. But why is it, you know, 50 years on that we are, you know, I mean, kids today are still coming and going, that King Cole guy is pretty cool. What is it?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's he was very unique somehow, you know. I was just, you know, commenting the other day about, you know, the way the guys are dressing right now with the little fedora and the little, you know, the whole little vibe. Dad was dressing like that like 60 years ago, so... Yeah. They haven't started anything new. You know, he was a trendsetter in so many ways. He was a black man, not terribly educated, good looking, slender, dressed nice. At 18, he had his own band and was kicking butt, you know, and not even singing a note, just playing. A great piano player.
Yeah.
And for the people who are real who became real fans of Nat King Cole. They knew him as a musician, you know. But I think once he did open his mouth, whether it was unwillingly or not, that it surprised him that he had a voice like no other.
Yeah.
He just had this lovely, beautiful, soft, cool. People would say they always felt the dad was singing to them,
yes,
and not mm-hmm. at them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was one of his specialties.
Yeah.
He was a very warm, charismatic yes. person.
The communicator.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much what we tried to do in this radio
and,
business.
And,
yeah.
and Dad, I remember Dad saying somewhere that, you know, you are the messenger. The music is what's important. You're just the messenger. And I think in the process, if the messenger also gets some kudos, that's okay. But just remember that the music is the star.
There's one thing I wanted to ask about the voice. it's written, and I don't know if it's true or not, but he used to believe that the smoking would make his voice deeper.
Yeah, we heard that yesterday, and that's a horrible, horrible...
So that you don't think that was true?
No.
No.
I think my dad smoked because he was
well, everyone
a smoker.
Did, didn't they?
Yeah. Was the most
I mean, he was smoking when he was a, you know, a teenager.
Yeah.
You know. But I think that's an awful thing to think that the hoarseness made him...
Well, quite often it makes people's voices gravelly and
very not attractive,
yeah,
actually.
That it wasn't. It was velvety smooth.
And it
smooth.
Was so smooth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of a...
Hmm.
Yeah, misnomer.
Well, it's good that you dispelled that one.
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
we'd like to dispel that one officially
yeah.
here.
Yeah. So
yes.
It's done now.
Yeah. Yes.
We'll have that eradicated.
Here on Jazz FM. It's over.
Okay.